anchored my soul. I'm not what I used to Something if you would pray for me. You pray that God give me strength, give me the ability, and give me the avenue for His Spirit to flow through me and preach through me. I believe as God laid this on my heart over a week ago and got to sit and meditate on it, which some things which I haven't been able to do for a while. God normally gives them pretty fast, but I want to preach on, have you missed it? Have you missed it? And in John chapter 20, we're going to read about a man who missed it. Who missed it. And we want you to examine, ask God to examine you. You examine yourself. And see if you've missed some things. And maybe, just maybe, God will give you an opportunity to not miss it again. Aren't you glad that God is a God of second, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances? Brother Larry, somebody told me, he said, "Preacher, do you believe in that second working of grace?" I said, "I believe in seven workings of grace." They looked at me, eyes got real big. They said, "You ain't no Baptist." And I said, "I'm absolutely a Baptist. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. I believe in seven workings of grace." They said, "What are they?" I said, "Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday." God's grace, 7 days, supplies and give to you. Mercy, the Bible says, is renewed. It's refreshed. It's brand new every day. And it's for you if you want it. But I wouldn't miss it. There's an old song that the old gospel singers used to sing. I wouldn't miss it, would you? And I wonder today if you'll miss this opportunity. I hope you don't. But if you have missed opportunities in the past, would you take this opportunity to not miss? If you would like, if you're comfortable, if you want to, you don't have to. But if you'd like to stand with me, we're going to read and we're going to pray. We're going to read in John chapter number 20, the Gospel of John chapter number 20. And we're going to start reading at the 19th verse. Verse number 19. The Gospel of John, chapter number 20. If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
And this is what it says. Verse number 19. Then that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, and came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he shewed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus unto them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted and unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou seest, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed." And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have a life through his name. Would you help me pray? Precious God, merciful Savior, Father, we come before you. We thank you for this blessed hope and this blessed word. But oh God, I pray right now, God, I need you. I need your power. Need everything about you going through me, Lord. Help me, Lord Father. Would you bless me? Allow me to be a vessel to be used. Would you allow me to be the horn that needs to be sounded this morning and this afternoon? And God, not just to be sound as to be a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, but that God, the hearts of them that's here, including mine, may be touched and spoke to through and by your power. Oh God, may I pray this, Lord Father, though I am a man, Lord God, and though some folks just look at me as Jason or preacher or pastor, but God, may I lose sight of myself and may this congregation lose sight of me. But God, that our heart and our ears would be open to hear what you have to say. Because your word says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church." And oh God, I pray today, Lord Father, no matter what we do, we give praise and glory and honor to your high and holy name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading and praying with me. I want to pray about, have you missed it? Have you missed it? Here in this scripture, here in the Gospel of John, we find where we have found the familiar scripture or the familiar place where we find this is where Jesus has already risen from the tomb. It is that first and glorious morning. It is resurrection morning. It is that day when Mary Magdalene was at the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away. She had went back and told the disciples everything that was going on. And though they seemed as fables and tales unto themselves, but Peter and another disciple ran forth and found that the tomb was empty and the grave clothes was there. And everything was that they thought was there, or that he should be there, was not there. May I remind everybody that he had told these disciples that I'll tear down this temple in 3 days. I'll build it up again. As we said, he said, no sign shall be given unto the young and adulterous generation. But he says, I'll be in the center of the earth for 3 days and three nights, but I'll rise again. He told them in John chapter number 10, he said, I'll lay down my life, but I got the power to take it up again. And can I say today that these disciples were gathered together, and even though he had told them, and though he had said these things throughout the time period that he was with those disciples, I can honestly say this, that whenever he says something is going to come to pass, Brother Junior, when it comes to pass, it's a whole lot better than what he said it was going to be. And I have to say that when these disciples were in there, I'm telling you, just knowing, because I've been in the presence of God, and you have too, that it's a whole lot better than what you thought it was going to be. The perception that you think it's going to be like and how it's supposed to be, what actually happens is so far better than what happens. But can I say this, so many times we have missed out on the opportunities. We have missed out on the things that God wanted to give us. We have missed the blessings. We have missed the reward. We have missed the labor. And we have missed the mark when it comes to the things that God wants us to do. As I was thinking about this scripture, I was reminded, I never forget, when I announced my calling to preach, the first time I had heard the word missed the calling, or they had missed it, as I remember Brother Scott, when I was listening to a man preach, he said a lot of preachers have missed their calling. And I didn't understand what he was talking about, but what he was saying was that a lot of time people have missed what God was actually wanting to do through their life. And they got the wires crossed, and they got confused and thought it was something else, and they've missed it totally. Can I say this? That when you miss what God has in store for your life, or if you miss what God's wanting to give you, I'm telling you, it will have an effect on your life. There's people right now that's in nursing homes, and there's people right now that are in hospitals, and there's people right now that are present in this church that has voiced unto me the times that they could not get to church and could not come to church. And they said, Jason, you just don't understand. It's rough getting older, or it's rough being sick, because we cannot stand missing church. We don't want to miss what God wants to give us when the church is gathered out. Can I say this? It's not just on Sunday when you miss things, but there's things throughout the week. There's things that happen from day to day that God wants to give and God wants to bless. And a lot of times we miss it because we don't have our eyes upon what God wants us to do. Y'all hear this, preacher? Can I say this tonight? I'll share this. I wasn't going to share this, but I sat there on Friday night in that U.S. Bank arena, and I'm sitting there with all them young people, and I do believe, I think I was the oldest person there amongst the group. And I'm standing there, and a couple of them said they wanted to go to get something to drink and want to go to the concession stand. And we're standing there and we're talking, and one of them said, I won't give out no names, but they were standing there talking. And they said, Brother Jason. I said, yeah. They said, that T-shirt that boys are wearing over there, is that a Christian group? And I looked at it and I said, no, it's not a Christian group. I said, matter of fact, that's an old rock T-shirt that boy had on. And that boy and that person that asked me, I looked at me and says, yeah, my grandpa had a shirt like that. And I looked at him, I said, man, I really don't like you right now. I don't like the way you said that. But can I honestly say, I wouldn't have missed that for the world, to be there with those kids and to see into what God can do in somebody's life. And oftentimes we look at things, we look at through the box that we want to put God in. Or we look at the situation of life and we want to put God into our parameters, into our thinking and our belief. And we don't even think about what God says about the matter or what God wants to do in the matter. And I sat there and there was a lot of music I did not like that was going on. And thank God for earplugs. Somebody say amen on earplugs. I felt something on the earplugs. James went and got me a pair of earplugs. I thank God for them. I got out of there and I could hear them. We got out in the parking lot. But there were some things in there that surprised me and shocked me. And it gave me a ray of hope to say, don't quit, don't give up, keep on going. There's an opportunity that we have every single day to share what God has done in our life with somebody else. There's an opportunity every day that we can ask God to move in our life and make a difference, so we can have the opportunity to make a difference in somebody else's life. I'm telling you this today. When you miss out on opportunities, the ramifications that happen when you miss out on what God wants to give will make a difference in your life, but not in the positive. As I'm reminded here, a lot of times, and there were some things that's been going on in the world that we have today. And one of the biggest things, I told Brother James, you could feel the underlining theme sometimes at that concert, but I'm finding it just about everywhere I go. There's people that I know that pastor churches, but they won't even call their church a church no more. There's people that pastor churches and they don't even like being called pastor no more. There's people that preach in churches, but they don't even want to be called preachers no more. Because they says they want to change everything. They want to change the situation, the circumstance, because they says they don't like the way things are going. And the first thing they don't like church. They don't like what church stands for. And I'm sitting here thinking about this, but can I tell you all something? When you miss church, it makes a toll and takes a toll in your life that you can never get back by through anything else. I'm not throwing off on somebody. Some people, sometimes folks has got to miss because of work. Sometimes folks has got to miss because of illness. Sometimes folks has got to miss because of death or something. Just sometimes circumstances happen. But a lot of times, too, people just miss because they don't think of the importance or the reality or the necessity of being in the house of God when the church is gathered out. We preached on Wednesday night about how the Bible says that in Matthew chapter number 18 and verse number 20, I do believe it is, or 18, 19, and 20, he's talking about where two or three are gathered in my name, there I shall be in the midst. Jesus was talking to the disciples about how they need to be together and agree together and come together every opportunity they get. He says, where two touch upon one matter, praying about it under the Father, it shall be done unto them. But can I say, so many times you can hardly get two Baptist people to agree on songs in the choir. But we got to come together and realize the opportunity that the church has. May I remind everybody that when we don't realize how important it is, but the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 10, verses number 24 and 25, the first thing he said was we are to provoke one another to love. We are to put each other in a situation where we come together in love and in unity. And then he says, for not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as some others do. He's saying there's going to be a crowd that's going to forsake it. But church, don't you dare forsake the assembling of together. Because if you miss out on the assembly like Thomas did right here, you can miss it all. And so many times I've heard people say, well, you know what? I used to be this way. And I text a good friend of mine. And Jason Callahan and I, we text back and forth. And we've always said this. And the sister in the church has said this here recently. We always said we don't want to miss out on church or miss out on the opportunities. Not because we want to see something fantastic go on. We just don't want to miss what God is passing out. We want to get everything that God wants to give into our life. And we don't want to, and I'm glad that God's this way. I thought about this many a times. And though God is blessing me and pouring things out on me, Brother Tom, it don't rob you of any blessing or any opportunity that God wants to give to you. God has got so much. He's got a storehouse. And he says in Malachi chapter number 3, if we're obedient, don't miss out on the obedience. He says, I'll open up the storehouse of heaven. I'll open up the window and I'll pour out a blessing upon you that you cannot even contain it. But he didn't stop there. He says, I'll rebuke the adversary and the devourer and I'll keep them from harming you if you don't miss the opportunity. I'm reminded in Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 19 through 22, how he says, as a church, you're to come together. Because we're fellow citizens and we are the household, and we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are a habitation of God through the Spirit. That's what we are as a church. And can I say also, it says in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47, in Acts chapter number 2, the Bible says this is the day of Pentecost. This is the day when Peter had preached the message, and they all looked out and they asked Peter. They said, "What must we do?" And Peter says, "Repent and be baptized." He says, "Repent and be." Can I tell you something? You still have to repent, and you still have to give your life and be baptized in it. I've heard some people say, "You preachers just preach too much on repentance." But can I tell you, Jesus said in John chapter or Luke chapter 13, "Unless ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Amen. How do you know you've repented, preacher? Because I've been repenting every day since. Amen. Amen. And when you repent and be baptized and believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Bible says it in Acts chapter number 2, from verse 41 throughout the rest of that chapter, the Bible says they continued together. They followed in the apostles' doctrine, and they went from house to house breaking bread, and they got together and provoked one another. They prayed together because they did not want to miss out on what God was doing. They just seen 3,000 souls saved and added unto the church. I'm telling you, it should be our heart-filled desire that we make a difference in somebody else's life. That if we can't see 3,000, maybe we can just see 3 saved. And it still be good and lift up hands to God and say, I'm glad I didn't miss it. I'm glad I didn't miss it. Preaching on today, have you missed it? Have you missed it? Can I say that? I remember when I first got saved and I was in the church. And I'm going to get to this. I forget when I first got saved and got to go to church. I didn't know how to raise my kids in church. I didn't know. Only thing I knew from my mom and dad was, you got out of line, you got the belt. Don't y'all look at me that way. Most of you was raised that way too. And can I say, if there was more belt swinging today, there'd probably be less prison inmates today. Huh? But I didn't know how to raise my kids. I didn't know how to do them things in church. I began to think and talk to the brothers and the sisters in the church. And they began to instill in me. And there was a wealth of knowledge and wisdom that I did not want to miss out on. And I would sit and I would listen. I would look at them. There's many a men and women that God has placed in my life that's made a difference in my life. And I'm glad I didn't miss. I'm glad I didn't miss. But I'd be lying to you today if there hadn't been people that God placed in my life. And I missed out on the opportunity. And I've said this before in Mount Zion Baptist Church. I've said it to the young people. And I've said it to the older generation that's in this church. It's been here for a while. There is an opportunity that the older generation and the younger generation cannot miss on. That is the generation of wisdom and knowledge that can be passed down. I've heard some people say, well, it's just the young people. Who really cares? Well, these young people is going to be your teachers and your preachers and your Sunday school teachers and your deacons one day after a while. And you're going to need them. It's like some people say, don't be mean to your kids because they're the ones going to pick up the nursing home you're going into. But can I say this also too? Don't you look at the older generation and think there's no use for them. Because I'm telling you, that is the fountain of knowledge. There's a wealth of knowledge. Don't remove the old landmarks, the Bible says, but look at them, observe them, and learn from them. Don't miss out on that opportunity. We got more people today. Can I say this? And don't y'all get mad at me, but I'm just going to give it because God's given it to me. We got more people on their cell phones or on electronic devices and on social media during the preaching than there is people who's in the Bible during the preaching. Somebody say amen right there. I've seen more and more people who'll come to the house of God, and that message has went out, and they have not heard not one thing that this preacher has said. But can I tell you, it's not going to be my fault, and it's not going to be God's fault. He's going to say, you've missed it. You've missed it. You had the opportunity, but you missed it. Thomas, I went up and read, and I've already knew, but I wanted to make sure this is what history says. Did you all know that Thomas went to the east, to India and Greece in that area, according to history? And they said he preached the gospel. And they said that he died because they ran him through with a spear because he preached the gospel at a certain place and they didn't like that religion. But can I say something? Thomas could have seen a million people got saved. And Thomas could have baptized a million people after they got saved. Thomas could have planted a million churches. But Thomas's name has always been synonymous with one word. And they call him Doubting Thomas. What happened, preacher? He missed. He missed it. I'm not talking about just missing church. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about that. But he missed out on something important. First of all, can I tell you, this is what happens when you miss out on what God wants to give you. When you miss out on what God wants to give you, you don't get the things and the equipment and the tools that God wants to give you to do the journey that you're doing that day or in that vocation. Y'all hearing this, preacher? And when you miss out on those things being passed out, before too long, there's something that creeps in, and it's called doubt. It'll creep in. And when doubt creeps in, it'll take over if you keep missing, or if you get upset because that you missed out on something. And the next thing that happens with doubt, after doubt sets in, your testimony becomes less powerful. And your name's different. I was raised, Brother Junior. Number one thing that was pounded in our life was, you better take care of that last name. My daddy really ground that into our psyche. You're a Faulkner, and you better represent your name well. To the point we feared, Brother James. The police officer didn't scare me. The jailer didn't scare me. Principals didn't scare me. School teachers didn't scare me. But the first time they said, Sister Ed, they said, I'm going to call your mom and dad. Son, lockdown happened. Belshazzar in Daniel chapter number 5 couldn't beat a drum with his knees like I could with mine. Scared plumb to death. What daddy was going to do if I caused some kind of reproach to my name. And can I say this today? When Thomas had missed out, and he missed out on what God wanted to give, and then doubt began to creep in, the next thing you know, his name is synonymous throughout the history and throughout generations. And even though people don't own and don't know and have not dug and have not looked and seen, Thomas is the same disciple that saw the walking on the water. Thomas is the same one who saw blinded eyes to see. Thomas was one who knocked on doors and spread the gospel. Y'all hear me? But can I tell you, we can't miss out on the opportunities that God wants to give. The first thing he missed out on receiving the Holy Ghost. Don't y'all look at me that way. In that chapter, in that verse, in verse number 19 and verse number 20 and down through 21, the Bible says the disciples were gathered together, but Thomas was not there. And Jesus appeared unto them, and he breathed upon them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I know it's not popular in the Baptist churches nowadays. I've been told I was wrong on this, but I'm just giving you what the verse says, what the words say. And somebody says the words in red, amen, right there. But the Bible says that Jesus breathed upon those disciples and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. I know what Acts chapter 2 is, and don't think I've gotten confused or gone sideways or jack-legged. I have not. But the thing is that God, Jesus appeared, and we could get deep in doctrine, but God's saying you can't do it. But the thing is what Jesus appeared in the midst, and he was passing out the most biggest and hugest blessing that you could ever receive. May I remind everybody that breathing, when Jesus or God breathes upon you or breathes in you, it's the greatest thing that could ever happen. Don't you all like breathing? If anybody don't like breathing, raise up your hand and say, I hate breathing. I hate it. Breathing started in the Old Testament. Somebody say amen right there. Because the Bible says he formed man out of the dust of the earth, but he breathed into his nostrils, and then he became a living soul. He breathed into them and breathed into Adam, and his life became a living soul. I'm reminded in the book of Ezekiel, in the valley of dry bones, there was bones that were dry, they were dead, and there was nothing in there, was no life. And the Bible says that Ezekiel prophesied under the bones, and the bones came together, bone to its bone and flesh to its flesh. And God covered it with flesh and made them just look like everybody else. But Ezekiel said, but God, oh Father, oh Lord, there's no life in them yet. There's no life in them yet. And the Bible says that God commanded Ezekiel to command the four winds to blow. And those four winds blew. How can four winds blow at once? It's because God's going. And he breathed into that army, and they became alive because of the breath of God. Amen. And here we are in the Gospel of John. And God's breathing again. And he's wanting to breathe on them. And them to receive the Holy Ghost. But Thomas wasn't there. Thomas had missed out on it. Can I say this? When you miss what God wants to give, let me say this where it's understandable. If you miss out on what God wants to give, the ramifications in your life are limitless. Can I remind everybody that 12 spies were sent out to spy out the land of Canaan? And they come back with a beam with a load of grapes on it. And I believe them grapes were seen by all of Israel. And I believe if they wanted to, I believe Caleb and Joshua would have took a grape out and squeezed one of them grapes for everybody to take a drink of it and taste and see how good Canaan is. Y'all with the preacher? But they also saw that there was an enemy in the land of Canaan. And instead of fixing and focusing their eyes upon God and what God said, they missed out on what God was really wanting to give. God said, I've promised you. I've made you a promise. I've guaranteed you a land that flows with milk and honey. You've been wandering around in the wilderness. You've been running around the desert place. You're all dried up, eating manna, complaining about manna. You wanted meat, I give you meat. You complain about the meat. You want that good life. You want that great life. You want them green pastures. And you want that life of prosperity. Well, I got it for you. All you got to do is cross on over to the other side. But they said, no, we can't handle this. And 10 of them outvoted 2 of them. And since 10 of them wanted to miss out on what God wanted to give, 40 days turned into 40 years of marching around one mountain. May I remind everybody that King Saul in Samuel chapter number 15 was told to go out and destroy the people of the Amalekites. And Saul had assailed some to the army, and they sent the folks out and they took out the Amalekites. And God told him, he said, wipe them all out. Wipe out all remembrance of the Amalekites. They was the ones who snuck in the back door. They was the ones who are the enemy of God. They're the ones who will always be the enemy of God. The only way you'll find rest is get rid of the enemy. But Saul hearkened to the voice of the congregation and said, you don't understand the way they were. So I kept the king alive so that everybody may see, look how powerful we are. And that God, you would be pleased with what I was doing. And God, we let them keep the sheep so they can make sacrifices unto you to show how they really love you. But God says, I'm not pleased with all your gifts. What I want to see is your obedience. I want to see you listen and hear the word of God and do it. Can I say, every time we try to one-up God, you cannot one-up God. So many people, so many churches, so many preachers try to one-up God. So many folks try to do things and think, well, I'll do this and everything. God will be pleased with it. God will be pleased with what I'm doing, and you never run it by God. And when you do something on your own without finding out from God, you've missed it. You know how bad Saul missed it? The Bible says that God spoke to Samuel, and Samuel told King Saul, he said, the king has been ripped from you, and God's got him another king. God's got him another king. I've seen many of people, and some of you, you've heard me preach this before. I know preachers, I know pastors, I know singers, I know prayers, I know lifelong church members who've missed it, did things on their own, and now they have no testimony, and their life is filled with some doubts. One fella I know, all he wants to do, if he can turn back time, his life is always filled with regrets. He always comes back to it. And I wish there could be some kind of magic word I could say or a magic prayer that I could pray and say, oh man, maybe you could go back and do it all over again. But once you've missed it, you've missed it. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Y'all still awake? Don't fall asleep on me now. There's some good news coming. There's good news coming. But you can't miss it. Don't lock up and shut down on me. Got to give you what God says to give, but don't you miss out on all of it. Don't take 50 or 15 minutes of it and say it's going to be the same old message and walk out of here and miss on what God wants to give. Because see, in Acts chapter 17, they had so many places to worship and so many gods they was looking at that they was missing the real and true living God. In Acts chapter 17, they had a devotion to every god there was back in those days, and they had one inscription that said, to the unknown God. The Apostle Paul says, I know that unknown God. He's not unknowable. He's knowable. He said, him I'll declare unto you. And he preached unto him the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So many times we forget and we neglect. But here when Thomas, when he missed out first on the Holy Ghost being breathed upon him. Secondly, the doubts creeped in. Notice he said, when the disciples said, we've seen him. Thomas says, I won't believe until I can touch his hands and touch his side. How many times have we heard God speak and God preach and tell our hearts and tell our lives what he's going to do, but we don't believe it? How many times has he commanded us to repent and turn from our ways, but we don't do it? How many times has he told us, there's a better life for you, but you got to follow me, and we say amen, but we don't follow him? Many of folks in the Bible, there's one place where the Bible says there was a rich man, he had 2 sons. He asked one, he said, He said, go out in my field and do as I tell you to do. And that son said, I'll go do it, Father. He went to the oven and said, now you go out in the field and do it too. He said, I ain't going, Daddy, I ain't going. But as time went by, the one that said he wasn't going repented and went back out in the field and started working. But the one said he would go work, and he didn't go work. And how many times has God have spoke to our hearts and said, here's something about the place in your life, something in place in your life, but you miss out on it. And the doubts creep in. There's people underneath the sound of my voice. God has spoke to you and preached to you time and time again. And I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm saying this out of a concerned heart. You're missing it. You're missing it. And some people might say, well, preacher, I'm saved. What else is there? Oh, after the initial salvation, there is so much more God can give you. Y'all hearing this, preacher? There's a life that's more abundant. There is a land that flows with milk and honey. It is living in Canaan. Is there beasts? Is there giants? Yes, there is. But as this youth sang the song, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. Notice he says, I don't care. I don't care. I got to see it to believe it. And the Bible says when he appeared unto Thomas and he confronted Thomas, he said, put your fingers right there, Thomas. Go ahead and put your finger right there, Thomas. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. The doubts creeped in. He missed it on the gift. And now his testimony is ruined to everybody else. But can I say this? Though Thomas missed out, the good thing is, Scott, that Jesus came back by his way. Though Thomas missed out on the first gathering, he didn't miss out on the second gathering. Some people might say, well, how do I know? How do you know that Thomas didn't miss out on the second gathering? Did he know Jesus was going to appear after the eighth day? I don't think Thomas knew it, but I believe Jesus knew he was going to appear on that eighth day. I believe he knew that Thomas was going to be in that upper room. And I believe Jesus passed by and said, I got to show myself to Thomas. I got to let him know that it is real. It wasn't just a bunch of hocus pocus and just another person fly by night type of religion. That it's real. That it can make a difference in your life. I can change you. You can have the best life that you can have, but you got to have it through me. And the Bible says that Jesus appeared unto him and said, behold my hands and behold my side. Can I say this tonight, sir, this morning? Sometimes we neglect and sometimes we don't realize just exactly what God wants to do in our life. And we miss it and we miss it and we miss it because we think we've been saved for a while. Or maybe that you're lost and you've never been saved. And you come to church and say, it's always going to be this way. It's always going to be this way. But I'm telling you, friend, Jesus is passing by. And just maybe, he'll let you see it again or feel it again. I was reminded Sunday night or Friday night on how some people view church and some people view preachers like myself. How they say that we're mean because we point out people's shortcomings and flaws. But can I say this? It's not this preacher that's pointing out your shortcomings and flaws. I don't know what you're doing Monday through Saturday. I don't know what you're doing in the county that you live in. We got people represented here that's members of this church from all kinds of counties in Southwest Ohio. And I can't go home with you. But can I tell you, there's one that goes home with you and sees every single thing that we do. And aren't you glad he doesn't reward you according to your iniquities? Aren't you glad he doesn't deal with you after your sins? But he passes by you one more time and says, though you've missed it, I want to give you an opportunity, a chance to see and to feel that I'm real. He looked at Thomas and said, behold my hands and my side. And Thomas looked at him and said, my Lord, my God. He said, Thomas, you believe and you see. He said, but more blessed are them that see and do believe. And can I say this? I've never seen Jesus with my eyes. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what God's given me. All those pictures and all those things we think Jesus looks like, I don't know if he looks like that or not. But I do know this. I've felt him in my presence before. And I've felt him breathe upon my life before. And it seems like I've felt him wrap me up in his arms before. But there's been times that I've missed out. There's been times that I've neglected to be there when God was passing them out. And I've asked God and begged God to help me and not let me miss it again. He's always come back by my way and let me know. I wonder what you've missed this past week. I wonder what you've missed these past couple of times you've been in church, or maybe been on the workplace or the school place. I wonder what you've missed. I've often heard people try to put Jesus in the only framework as it says in this Bible. But I was reminded of something until I read it. And in that 30th verse and 31st verse, it says, "And many other signs truly to Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." April, you've never seen Jesus. Had people tell me, "Well, I've seen Jesus. I've been to heaven, or I've been to hell." No, you haven't. I know it gets people mad. They get upset, and there's been books and movies wrote about. There was a big book and a big movie that was produced and written all because one boy said he died and went to heaven, and they all, you know, this great big publication and everything, and it come out that he lied. But everybody took it hook, line, and sinker. What happened, preacher? They put their hopes and trust in something that was not God-given. And oftentimes we get ridiculed, or I'll get ridiculed, or the church gets ridiculed because we cling to our Bible, and as the other people say, cling to our guns or whatever have you. We stick close to what we've always known in the truth. But can I tell you, Jesus says, if you're not there, Jesus says, if you're not with me, then you're against me. The Bible says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, then you're none of his. Can I say this today? You need to have Jesus in your life. Don't miss it. I've heard people say this, "Well, if you miss heaven, you missed it all." You didn't miss it all. If you miss heaven, you get hell. If you're lost here today and God's dealt with your heart, or maybe you've, and don't get me wrong, I'm giving you what God's given me. I'm not trying to babble. I'm not trying to go on. Maybe you did some kind of ritual. Maybe you saw somebody else get up and come forward, so you got up and come forward and thought you'd join right in. Hey, somebody else got up, maybe I need to go up and go with them, but you never really got the goods. You missed it. You never was truly saved. Somebody says, "Preacher, you don't know how to preach that way. You'll cause people to doubt." I'm not causing people to doubt. James, that you can tell in people's lives when they're already doubting. I'm reminded Terry Pace was his testimony. He said at a youth service, he said everybody went to the front, and so he went with them, and he knelt down on his knees, and he cried because everybody else was crying. And when he got up, everybody thought he was saved, but he said he knew he wasn't saved. He said he could sing the songs just like everybody else could. He could shout amen just like everybody else could. He could raise up his hands like everybody else could, but he missed it. He never got what God was wanting to give him. But he said, "I thank God he didn't leave me in that position. He came back by my way and made sure he confronted me and let me know. And I gave my life to Jesus, and I didn't miss it. I wonder if you've missed it this day. I wonder if you're here and saved, if you're missing out on so much that God wants to give you because you're failing to follow him in his word. I wonder today how many times that you've come to church and God's put your life on a platter and gave it to you, or put it in an envelope and stuffed it in your mailbox for you to read, but you brushed it aside, hoping and praying that it'll be over soon. I wonder how many of you has come to church and said, "Let's endure Brother Faulkner until he quietens down and he calms down, and then we'll leave. And we'll get through another week and come back in and muster through it." Can I say something, friend? It's not me you have to worry about. And Pat, I've had them preachers that used to bother me. But I found out when I wasn't right with God, it was me that was being bothered by God. It wasn't the preacher. And can I say this? I've heard people say that the preacher's so mean, or the church is so mean, they don't make them feel comfortable. I can honestly say in Mount Zion Baptist Church, they've loved me ever since I've been here. And they'll love you if you'll let them. But don't miss it. Don't miss it. I wonder if you're here today and you are saved, but you're trying to do something on your own, thinking, "Well, I know this and I know this and I know this. I'll just do this." Maybe you're here and saved and you've been saved for a while and go, "Well, I know the routine. I know how things are supposed to go, and this is how we're supposed to do it. And whatever God does, God does." But can I tell you, that's not the God of this Bible. The God of this Bible has a plan for your life. And even though you may fail, he will still give you something, but you can't miss it. Maybe you're here today And you know that you've missed it. You know that you're missing out. You know you've messed things up. You know that things is a shambles. Can I tell you what you ought to do? You ought to come to this altar and ask God and say, Lord, can you pass by my way again? I don't want to miss it. Would you be willing to do that today?